Hi, this is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to What Women Must Know. It's great having you join me for another hour of in-depth conversation that is really designed to empower you with truthful information so you can make the most informed decisions possible regarding your health and well-being. So I'm so glad you're joining me again today. This is the third in the series this month, February, which is Heart Month, and I am hosting the Wholehearted Heart Month series, and we're talking to experts on the subject of what is really going on with our heart. How do we support our heart, our arteries? What is the truth? What are the myths? How to really understand what is required to optimize our cardiovascular health and other things that are connected to the heart of the matter. And today we're going to be talking about the heart of the matter with an expert, a master Chinese herbalist. He is a frequent guest on my show. I always learn from Angelo Druda. And he's back with us today to understand about heart rejuvenation. So doesn't that sound like a really interesting topic? Well, it is to me. So first of all, let me just introduce Angelo to you. And as he likes to say in his bio, an old country woman first showed Angelo the medicinal power of herbs in 1917 upstate New York. Thus began a botanical study that has still not come to an end. Angelo is a certified practitioner of traditional Chinese medicine, a member of the Australian Natural Therapist Association. He is the author of a fantastic book called The Tao of Rejuvenation, and he actually travels around the world presenting seminars about ancient rejuvenation practices. So we are going to get some of his inside tips and wisdom about what heart rejuvenation is all about and how we can benefit from it. And by the way, his website, for those that like to learn more about Angelo's work, is tbmedicine.com. So, Angelo, welcome to the show today.
Thank you very much. Happy Heart Month.
And a happy Heart Month to you, too. So we are having a very happy Heart Month. We've had some great conversations with people who are definitely provocative and opening our eyes to what's really going on, since cardiovascular health is such a major issue. And, of course, we know that cardiovascular disease kills more Americans than cancer and motor vehicle accidents, and we are all coming up to the population where all these concerns are really becoming so more prevalent. So I know you always have great insights about what is going on with many facets of our health from that perspective of traditional Chinese medicine, which I personally have great respect for and use as part of my own preventative healing modality. So Why don't we just start with the understanding of the heart from the TCM perspective?
Well, most of us in the West are aware of the heart as a pump. And the heart certainly is a pump. It's a powerful pump. The heart could shoot a stream of water 6 feet into the air. It has that kind of strength and power. So the heart certainly is a pump. But the heart is so much more than a pump. And in Chinese medicine, and not just Oriental medicine, Chinese medicine, but if you even go back into ancient Western medicine, great surgeons like Dr. Harvey, who practiced in England and was a court physician to one of the kings of England, and ancient yogis and ancient doctors and Chinese medicine actually recognize the heart to be the center of consciousness in the body. In the West, we tend to identify the brain as the center of consciousness in the body, but this is actually not the case. The heart is a great electromagnetic pulsar. It is an electromagnetic oscillator, and it is actually the place in the body where the unconditional spirit, the unconditional consciousness, actually enters in and becomes the human body. It's actually the heart organ that interfaces and that is the direct, indirect communion, so to speak, with the transcendental, unconditional light and consciousness from which the body is derived. So in Chinese medicine, we see the heart as the storehouse, the receptacle for the essential spirit of man, and this includes his intellectual capabilities, his intellectual functions. Ancient doctors pointed to the right auricle in the right side of the heart, that space behind the sinal atrial node as the very place where the primitive fire of life was actually becoming the human body. So the heart is this great feeling organ. And why is this important to know? Why is this important to understand? Because what we come into feeling contact with absolutely affects our heart health. This is why I always like to say that the primary principle of heart rejuvenation is good company. In other words, the heart is going to entrain with the company we keep, with the activities that we do. And when we do loving and positive and regenerative activities, then the heart entrains with that activity. And the heart has been described by some as an endocrine gland that can actually point to the heart as this primary endocrine gland in the body that's producing a host of regenerative hormones and messengers and signals. So the heart is this unique and profound organ, and it's important to understand this because what we do, how we live, how we act, and not just at the level of right diet and right supplements, but our whole attitude towards life actually has a direct impact on the health of the heart. So in Chinese medicine, we see the heart as the receptacle for the essential spirit of man.
You know, that's such an interesting interpretation because, and this is why I love traditional Chinese medicine, it just goes into so many dimensions of who we are. When our Western model talks about the heart, it's very physiological, you know, it's how it works, how it pumps, and people say the heart's just a pump, and, you know, that's how we look at things. That's how we look at the anatomy and the physiology of our body. But Chinese medicine just has layers and facets to understand these organs and these systems, which aren't just the physical action of an organ working. That organ is a metaphor. And not only just a metaphor, it actually has other levels that it communicates and is relating to the whole of the body that we just don't fully understand in our Western model.
Exactly. I mean, Western medicine tends to be enunciated from a materialistic body, physical body-based point of view. Traditional medicine, it's not simply materialistic medicine. Traditional medicine, I mean, some of this medicine, these early doctors were great visionaries. They saw more than just the mere pump of the heart. They could actually see the subtler mechanisms of the heart, the subtler interactions, the subtler interfaces between the heart and the brain and the other organs. And so the cosmology of traditional medicine, and particularly Oriental medicine, is a cosmology that encompasses and enunciates not only the physical sheath of the body, but the subtler aspects of the body, and ultimately right up to the subtlest sources of the human body.
So can you just explain a little bit more for us? When you talk about the heart as the seat of the perceptual feeling mind, what does that mean?
It means that the heart is actually a feeling organ. That literally, if we look at the essential personification of a human being, what makes us fundamentally human is this feeling capability. And the heart is absolutely a feeling organ. It absolutely entrains and harmonizes and synchronizes with what it feels. And the heart is the... Whoops. We get knocked off.
Still there?
Are we there?
I'm here. Getting to the heart of the matter.
We're into the heart of the matter there. So, yeah, we're really talking that the heart is this feeling core of the body. We hear terms like heartfelt, and poets and have always, and artists have always been talking about this subtle dimension of heart feeling. We talk about the rejuvenating power of love. The heart is the center of the feeling being in human beings, and that's a very important part of understanding heart regeneration, because if we take our hearts off to war and we spend our time and energy doing these terrible, violent things, well, you see, that absolutely affects the heart. It affects the heart health. It affects the heart rate, the rhythms of the heart. So it's important to understand that really the heart is the seat of this great feeling dimension in the human body, that is the human body. The brain is the seat of the conceptual thinking mind. The heart is the seat of the feeling perceptual mind. And we connect with life, not through thoughts. We connect with life through feeling. And feeling is fundamental to rejuvenation. I mean, you know, the feeling capability, the ability to feel into the subtler and regenerative spectrums of light have an absolute impact on the health and the longevity of the human body. So the heart is a literal feeling organ. This is actually the center of feeling in the human body.
You know, I work with a, I guess it's a heart training technique or modality called heart math, which you probably have heard of.
Yeah, right.
So there's a little piece of hardware, there's a little device that you hold, and it actually can monitor through your fingers, your thumb, your heart rate. And when you are in a state called congruency, which is where your sympathetic and parasympathetic levels are in a balanced state, which is the state that is most conducive to healing, to creative ideas, to regenerating the body. And the purpose of heart math, which is a really interesting name, I don't even understand why they call it heart math, but the purpose of this heart math technique and the training tools that they have is to train you to get into this coherent state more and more of the time until you actually just are in there all the time. And they look at heart rate variability, this rhythm of the heart, which should have a nice, even rhythm to it. And that's part of the training, is how to establish a healthy heart rate variability. It's a fascinating modality because they say that, and they've done studies at the Heart Math Institute, where you can measure the field emitted by the heart, not the brain, but the heart that goes out, you know, quite a distance from the physical body. And it's, I just find it so, so fascinating.
The heart is this great electromagnetic oscillator, and the heart field has been described as being thousands of times more powerful than the actual field that the brain sends out. So yes, that's what we're talking about, this great heart field that the heart is. Now there is this one theory that says that all hearts come with a certain amount of pre-programmed beats. And it's been estimated, for example, the human heart comes with 3 billion beats. So, for example, one approach to heart rejuvenation, it's actually a traditional approach that comes from Indian yogis who practice in the area that is now known as Kashmir. This is hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago. They observed that, well, one way to actually extend heart life, one way to extend the life of the body would be to slow, just as you're describing, Cheryl, slow and harmonize the heart rate to its perfect congruency. And so these yogis developed breathing practices that allowed them to breathe more efficiently than their ordinary breathing. The breathing was more efficient at the level of the oxygenation of venous blood, the blue blood that requires oxygenation. So they developed these developed these new breathing processes that allowed them to oxygenate more blood more quickly and more efficiently and more effectively, and by using breathing exercises to oxygenate the blood more efficiently, then they slowed the heart rate down. They slowed the heart work. They slowed the amount of work that the heart is doing. And the theory was, well, we'll slow heart rate, we'll harmonize the heart rate, and this way we will get more years for our 3 billion inherited beats. And so this was one approach to that fact. And of course, we know today that one of the best ways to harmonize the parasympathetic and the sympathetic aspects of the nervous system, as you're describing, is through the breath. The breath has a direct relationship and will slow and calm and harmonize heart rate. It will harmonize the autonomic nervous system, and this will then slow the heart rate into these deeply relaxed and congruent rhythms, which in the midst of those rhythms, it's also been observed then that the regenerative chemistry in the body can be optimized. You see, so we can use up our inheritance in a flash, like somebody like a Jimi Hendrix or Janis Joplin, some of these famous rock stars that just burn their life fire out suddenly and rapidly, and then they were gone. Or we can learn how to slow the heart rhythm, slow the heart rate, balance the heart rate, and in that case, then gain more years for our inherited 3 billion beats. Now, for modern practitioners who don't necessarily want to go to Kashmir and learn these secret breathing techniques, one important thing to know is just increase the inhalation slightly longer than the exhalation. Just take these deep, feeling breaths. Feel with the breath. Draw not only air in with the breathing, but draw in all these subtle forms of nutrition and chi and pranas and light, and draw them in slow, feeling breaths. And maintain the inhalation so we take in just slightly more with each inhalation than we actually give out is one way to summarize the principle of some of these breathing techniques that were developed by ancient yogis years ago.
So we're talking right now more about that, the emotional dimension of the heart, which is brings to mind that there are studies that have shown that more heart attacks take place on a Monday morning.
Monday morning, yes.
So how does that fit in to what you are saying about that emotional component and the impact of emotions on the health of the physical heart?
There is no doubt that emotion has a direct impact on the health of the heart. This is clear. I don't have any data that substantiates why exactly on that Monday morning the heart attacks seem to occur at greater frequency. I think we can both surmise that the Monday morning, going back to work, facing the stresses of the week, could certainly have a more negative impact on heart function than, say, the kind of thing we're feeling on Friday when we are.
But I mean, the point is that for many people, going back to work is a really stressful event. It's not pleasant.
Yeah.
It's people resist it, resent it, are upset by it, and aren't happy by it, if you're just looking at it from that level. So it would seem to me that applying what you are saying, that just one's thoughts and one's attitudes and the emotions that come up around the thought of going to a job that you hate or going to a job that's boring or going to a job that is generating a lot of stress, even just, you know, thinking and reacting to that environment can be a greater challenge to the body, especially if there's a vulnerability there anyway.
Absolutely. I think that's exactly it. And this is why we began speaking today here about this entrainment. The heart is a great feeling organ. What we're feeling and has a direct impact on the health of the heart. I agree with you. I think that's absolutely what's taking place there.
And while we're talking on this dimension of the role of emotions and stress on the heart, I also want to just get your thoughts about the huge awareness. There's a growing awareness about the role of gratitude and this state, this energetic state, this emotional state when you feel gratitude, and particularly when you focus it on feeling in your heart. And if you really are in a place of gratitude, you will feel the heart opening up, the energy in the heart. It's such a powerful emotion to be cultivated because it seems that there is a direct correlation between staying in a state of gratitude and perceiving the world with the eyes of gratitude and our ability to relax, our ability to become more creative, our ability to do more healing, physical healing, emotional healing. And obviously it has to be supportive for our physical heart as well. And I mean, it's been an amazing practice that I've worked with, and the Heart Math Institute really uses that to help you get into this coherent state of imagine a memory, a place, a person, an event that you can bring up that feeling of gratitude and feel it in your heart while you breathe in and out of the heart. It's so powerful, such a powerful little exercise. I do it in my seminars all the time. It's so simple but profound in our ability to access a place where we are back into a state of connection, peace, and healing for the body.
It's absolutely profound. I know Larry Darcy, who wrote books on these prayer studies, many prayer studies that have been done over the years. He describes a study that comes out of Japan, where there was a man who worked in the church choir there in Japan, and he had developed throat cancer, was given a terminal diagnosis. He just went back to spending his days serving in his church, and he just never passed away. And when he was finally examined by the doctors, the cancer was completely gone. And when they asked him what he did, he said, "I simply went back and served every day with gratitude." Mm. This profound emotional regenerative disposition of gratitude. And, you know, in the ancient days, because we were talking about the yogis of India, when a man or a woman wanted to enter into the monastery and enter into the religious and spiritual life, one of the main requirements in many of these schools were, had the disciple achieved gratitude yet? Mm-hmm. You know, that was where it began. Were they full of gratitude? So it's wonderful. I mean, it's exactly what you're saying. The regenerative chemistry that is unlocked in this positive disposition is profound. Gratitude is a profound emotional state. It is profoundly mediated through the heart and by the heart, and it's profoundly regenerative, as opposed to anger and betrayal, where it's very difficult to perceive any regenerative effects for the heart or for the rest of the body in that disposition.
Because when you're dealing with resentment and anger and frustration and hatred, that energy, if you just think about it for a moment, is so, it shuts everything down. It's constrictive. Everything's flowing. The blood flow is constricted, obviously, the ability to digest and absorb of nutrients getting into the cell. The whole energetic is shut down and disconnect, which is leading to so much pain physically and emotionally.
Yes, and in Chinese medicine, there are many patterns of heart dysfunction and heart degeneration which are identified. Perhaps one of the most destructive patterns is what's called in Oriental medicine heart fire, a pernicious heart fire, where the levels of inflammation just move into the heart channel and attack and damage the heart. Now, this heart fire can be traced back to the liver and to the emotional state. What is the emotion that is most particular and peculiar to the liver? Well, it's anger. Because as you're describing, in anger, the energy, the chi in the liver, the blood in the liver, the emotion of the liver, it's all contracted. It's all tightened up. It's all suppressed. And that suppressed flow initiates an intense inflammatory response in the body. The body immune system reads that contraction, that stagnation, as a disease, and attempts to go and deal with that disease. And then the inflammation just moves over into the heart channel. And this chronic inflammation moving into the heart is perhaps the most destructive pattern that's actually affecting the human heart. I mean, one out of three people still in this country today has cardiovascular disease. And as you're describing, much of this can be traced not only to toxic diet and toxic environments, but it can also be traced to toxic emotions.
Well, this is such a fascinating conversation. We are about to take a break, and when we come back, Angelo, I'd like you to talk more about some of the patterns of heart imbalances, some of the other organs that are involved from the TCM perspective, and then some of the strategies and foods and other lifestyle behaviors that can really support us in healing our heart on all levels. So, everyone stay tuned. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. We will be right back. Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. Welcome back. We are having a conversation about heart rejuvenation with Angelo Druda, who is a traditional Chinese medicine practitioner. He is a master of Chinese herbal medicine. I like to call him that. I don't think he will call himself that, but that's a humility for you. And he's also the author of The Tao of Rejuvenation. Angelo, I'd like you to explore with us more about the relationship from a TCM perspective of those other factors that impair or compromise the heart and circulation. You talked about the role of the liver and anger, which is really fascinating to see how that emotion can impact that organ, or if the organ is damaged, because in Chinese medicine, every organ has an emotion associated with it. If the organ is damaged, you tend to be operating out of more of an angry state, and that impacts the heart. Is there anything else you can help us understand from the TCM perspective? What else is going on in challenging the functioning of the heart?
Well, the primary pattern that I see in the clinic is this pernicious heart fire that we have been talking about, where there is just too much inflammation moving into the heart channel, and over time this will damage the heart. And we see these elevations of heart fire in people that are stressed out, have gone through profound emotional, emotionally difficult times, couples who have lost spouses. We always see this pattern of heart fire. And my own sense of it is that this inflammation affecting the heart remains the primary killer of mankind. So clearing the inflammation from the heart is a primary principle for heart rejuvenation. And the Chinese years ago discovered herbs that very effectively cleared this pernicious heart fire. And most of these herbs are berberine-rich herbs. The active ingredient is what's called berberine. And it's interesting. One of the things I always like is when we have modern research that demonstrates the virtue of traditional medicine. And nowadays there is more and more research being done on berberines and the virtue of berberines. Some of the most leading edge research is being done at the New York Medical College out in Valhalla, New York. They have done some major studies on berberines, and they demonstrate that according to their research, berberine are one of the seven truly regenerative substances that they have observed in their studies, that they have observed in the clinic and in the lab, in the sense that it actually changes the cell messaging at the mitochondria and changes the message for the cell to turn off and die and allows the cell to continue to live. Well, many of the Chinese herbs that have been used to clear heart fire are full of these berberines. And these berberines are powerful inflammation cleansing herbs that can be used by everyone in this modern time to good effect, to serve the heart and to preserve and to regenerate the heart. So this inflammation pattern moving into the heart is a primary pattern that we see in the clinic.
I just want to jump in here because you're talking about inflammation. In the discussions I've had previously with my guests and the latest research on what is really the issue behind cholesterol and damage to the arteries, it's all about inflammation. And what I find fascinating is that that seems to be a rather recent revelation in the world of cardiovascular health, that it's been a knowledge that has been there for thousands of years from the traditional Chinese medicine point of view.
Go back to the ancient textbooks. Yes, you see these patterns describing heart fire patterns. They go back hundreds and hundreds of years. In fact, Oriental medical cardiovascular textbooks have go back many, many years. And yes, the early doctors were observing these patterns long ago. But again, right, modern research is beginning to catch up now with this particular aspect there. It's just one of the virtues of Oriental medicine that persists to this day. So, yes, the inflammation response, not just in the heart, but throughout the body, can become one of the primary degenerative patterns in the human body.
So can you give us some foods or dietary guidance or even lifestyle guidance based on TCM that could support us in strengthening and balancing our heart?
Let's do both. Let's do the TCM and let's do modern research. And when we're thinking about leading edge modern research and traditional cardiovascular medicine from China, we want to talk about nitric oxide. Nitric oxide was discovered in the 70s. The nitric oxide pathways were discovered in the 70s. Since that time, there is more and more and more research being done on nitric oxide as a primary regenerative secretion in the human body. The leading edge research these days is being done at the University of Texas in Austin under the direction of Dr. Nathan Bryan. They have done some wonderful research on nitric oxide. Nitric oxide is produced by the body in the endothelium of the body, in the circulatory system in the body. And the function of nitric oxide is that it causes, when it is secreted, it causes the circulatory system to relax, to open, and expand. Now, around the age of 40, universally, beyond the age of 40, the nitric oxide levels begin to start dropping in the human body. So beyond the age of 40 and 50 into 60, every human being is presenting with nitric oxide deficiency. It's fundamental to the aging process as it's clocked into the body. So the research that's being done is really pointed to, by increasing the secretion of nitric oxide in the body, we are able to affect a rather strong and profound regenerative effect on the heart and the entire cardiovascular system. Because these obstructive diseases like stroke and embolism, whereby the free flow of blood is obstructed, is an absolutely major part of cardiovascular degenerative diseases. So we can increase nitric oxide production in the body. As it turns out, so many of the right life practices that have been identified over the years, now that scientists are actually measuring the nitric oxide response in the body, we can see that so many of the right living practices increase nitric oxide production. And so many of the degenerative practices decrease nitric oxide production. So at the level of diet, and this the most recent research points to these green leafy vegetables as some of the most potent vegetable precursors of nitric oxide. And specifically, they have found that the vegetables arugula, Swiss chard, kale, all three of those vegetables are experiencing a renaissance these days. More and more people are growing them, more and more people are using them. These are powerful nitric oxide precursors, so people can eat those vegetables, test their nitric oxide levels afterwards, and we can see an increase in the flow of nitric oxide in the body. And the more nitric oxide that is produced, then you see the circulatory pathways stay open, they stay relaxed, and free blood flow is restored. Now, interestingly enough, during some of this research that was being done at the University of Texas, they actually went back and looked at the cardiovascular specialty in Oriental medicine. They got some of those herbs that Chinese doctors have been using for years to regenerate the human heart, and they tested them. And they discovered that these herbs that have been used for hundreds of years, as we have been talking about, to regenerate the heart, turn out to be powerful nitric oxide precursors. So they actually have identified the mechanism in these Chinese medicines to be a mechanism of opening up the circulatory system, allowing the body to secrete abundant levels of nitric oxide, and restoring free blood flow through the heart, through the microcirculation of the heart, and through the entire body. The beetroot, we've always been told by our mothers years ago, eat your beets, it's good for your blood. Well, it's true, the beets are nitric oxide precursors. And they're discovering the nitric oxide now they're finding is, this nitric oxide deficiency is showing up in all kinds of degenerative diseases, not only heart disease, but it's showing up in diabetes, and they're increasing nitric oxide production in the body, and they're noticing a healing effect at the level of all kinds of degenerative diseases. So these green vegetables that we were exhorted by our parents to eat when we were young turn out to be powerful heart foods because of this nitric oxide connection. And the traditional herbs, the traditional Chinese medical herbs, turn out to be powerful nitric oxide precursors. The early Chinese doctors did not talk about nitric oxide, but they would describe how those herbs and those particular formulas opened up the blood flow in the heart, harmonized the heart rate, eliminated palpitations of the heart, and regenerated the tissue of the heart. So the modern research on nitric oxide is, it's so important, and what's so interesting about it is it's so easy to do. We can actually begin to reverse a fundamental and primary aging factor here, nitric oxide deficiency, through right diet and the right application of herbal medicine. And then, yes, it will be, again, with right exercise, we notice nitric oxide levels go up in the body. Without exercise, nitric oxide levels go down. So here is a place where we have the ancient wisdom, in the modern research, and they're showing us that through the right application of foods and herbs, can have a profoundly regenerating effect on the heart.
So, I think we're coming full circle, because obviously if you have a diet that is filled with carbohydrates, sugars, hydrogenated oils, all those fatty foods, you're not getting your green vegetables, so you're going to be deficient on many levels of nutrients, including the nitric oxide that you've been talking about. So, it's kind of a blinding flash of the obvious. You can't keep your body healthy if you're not eating nutrient-dense foods.
Absolutely. And clients come into the clinic all the time. They have elevated blood pressure. They're about to be put on a blood pressure prescription. They change their diet. They start increasing their consumption of these foods, and the blood pressure goes back to normal. And this is what we're discovering. Increase the nitric oxide secretion in the body, and the blood pressure is normalized. They're also noticing in some of this research that, for example, people that are using these commercial antiseptic mouthwashes, when people use these mouthwashes 7 days in a row, their blood pressure elevates. Why? Because the mouthwash is killing the necessary bacteria in the mouth, which is critical to nitric oxide production. So you can see this whole
insane world we live in.
This world and the circle of degeneration, the cycle of degeneration. And yes, absolutely.
Oh, that is so interesting. So don't use commercial antibiotic mouthwash. Just use natural things.
Exactly. I mean, the bacteria is not necessarily bad. They got it.
Wow, I never thought about mouthwash having an impact on nitric oxide.
Well, they've also done research, interestingly enough. It's amazing what kinds of research goes on out there these days. But they've actually done research with people who wash too much. They wash too much of the bacteria that lives on the surface of the skin off, their nitric oxide levels drop, because there are all kinds of beneficial bacteria, not just in the digestive tract, but throughout the body, on the surface of the body. Yes, people should wash and maintain proper hygiene, but if we go after and start destroying all this bacteria, then we actually start destroying a very delicate ecosystem that the human body is.
So do you think we all need to be meditating or doing some form of relaxation techniques?
Unless you live in some paradisical land where there is the daily news is just good news every day. Absolutely. I mean, the meditation, again, the studies between the linkage of health and meditation are all there to be seen. Relaxation of the body, the harmonizing of the nervous system, the harmonizing of the breath, the relaxation of the heart rate. They've showed in studies that people that take a 30-minute nap on a daily basis have 40% less heart disease. That's a 30-minute rest period in the middle of the workday, and you can get 40% less heart disease just by consciously resting the heart.
We all need our little blankies and take some time to rest.
We do. What happens if you don't get some deep sleep for a couple nights in a row? Forget it.
So I'm sorry, all these distractions going on. What I wanted to say is just reminding everybody how important it is to reduce stress, however one does it, because stress generates inflammation. Stress reduces the nitric oxide levels in our body. Stress is generating just all these imbalances.
Absolutely. And life is challenging, and that can be a positive thing. But degenerative stress, where the body's own inflammatory system begins to attack the body itself, where we wear down the chi, the energy of the body, and, many people, the heart stops working just from the sheer exhaustion of the heart chi, the heart energy that beats the heart. I mean, it can be thoroughly exhausted, and as much of the research shows today, it can be almost immediately regenerated just by eating the right things, doing the right form of exercise, resting the body intelligently. The heart and cardiovascular system can function for a very long time.
Actually, can you talk a little bit about the need and the role of sleep for supporting our overall health, but particularly our heart health? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, it's an absolute. I mean, high-quality sleep, that deep, deep sleep, is the fundamental way that the human body regenerates itself. You want to regenerate your adrenal output, deep sleep. If we stay awake for a night or two, you can feel just how difficult, how exhausted. We begin to go mad because we lack this fundamental nourishment, this fundamental rest, this fundamental bliss and happiness that we enjoy in deep sleep. Deep sleep is it's absolutely critical to human life, and getting sufficient sleep and it's just so critical to health and well-being. Anyone that's had insomnia knows how true this is.
Right, and it alters our genes, and it definitely compromises our immune system.
Exactly, it just brings on negative genetic gene expression. It's deep sleep, good quality sleep is absolutely critical. And there is such a difficulty and problem with sleep in this world, in this country, because everybody is so stressed out and working so hard.
So you know, just kind of tying all our different points together from our conversation, the heart being the center of our emotional well-being, that really is a place that extends a huge, huge field for, you know, I don't even know how far out that field goes from our heart. And so our hearts are connecting all the time with each other, even though we're not physically close to each other. And the need for touch, the need for massage, the need for interaction, social interaction, physical interaction, that would just seem to be such a fundamental need to support the health of our heart.
They look at these cultures. We look at these cultures on Earth. There's about 7 locations around the planet where human beings are living significantly longer than the mean age for human beings. One of the fundamentals to their longevity and well-being. Yes, we can always see they're eating good foods, they're exercising, but they have this social, relational, intimate support network in which they live. They are being fed at the level of the feeling heart. They are being sustained at the level of the feeling heart. And so all these poetic expressions about the regenerative power of love and happiness and the healing power of love and happiness, this is not just symbolic speech. This is literal speech. And when we examine those among us who live the longest lives, we always see this loving, intimate, cooperative factor in their social life. It's absolutely critical, even more critical perhaps than the food that we eat.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I think that when we are concerned about our cardiovascular health and our blood pressure is going up and, you know, our cholesterol levels are going up and all the things that are indicators and barometers of underlying imbalances, we forget that part of the healing is reevaluating the aspects of our life that don't support us and where we are operating out of stress and fear, anger, resentment, because those emotions are directly impacting the health of the function of our heart. And you cannot heal the heart unless you heal these other aspects of our life and being as well. And I really appreciate you bringing that up and emphasizing and reminding all of us how critical it is to take time to connect, to stay in a place of gratitude, to practice gratitude so we can truly open our energies up and allow the healing to happen. It's quite amazing, actually, when you think about how all these facets need to be addressed. We just can't take some medications, which, of course, we're not promoting here anyway. But even just taking, you know, just doing the herbs but not addressing the other aspects won't give you the full potential, the healing.
Exactly. I suggest meditation, happiness, and the herbs.
So speaking of herbs, I want people to know if they go to your website, TB, for traditional botanical medicine, but tbmedicine.com, they can learn more. You've got a great article there about heart rejuvenation. And if people are interested in following up and learning more about the herbal formulations that you offer in consultations, they should go and check you out. That's tbmedicine.com. And I really recommend your book, The Tao of Rejuvenation, which is available at your site, tbmedicine.com. We have about a minute or so, Angelo. Anything else you want to add before we have to wind things up here?
Well, yes, there are articles on the website about nitric oxide, about berberines, and people can take a look at those heart formulas. We have the Heart Protector formula, which is loaded with all those good nitric oxide precursors. The cultivation formula is also a formula that is loaded with nitric oxide precursors. Last thing I'll say is over the years of clinical practice, we have seen these formulas effect powerful and profound changes, regenerative changes in human beings. So tbmedicine.com, there's a wealth of information there about this matter of heart regeneration.
Yeah. Well, this has been great. Thank you so much, Angelo, for the wonderful work you're doing. And for
thank you, Cheryl. Wisdom. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. And to all of you listening, thank you for joining me. You have been listening to What Women Must Know. I certainly invite you all to go to my website, What Women Must Know, because there are lots of free articles and interviews there. And also go to my Facebook page, because I post lots of neat things on that educational vehicle. And I guess it's time to say goodbye. And remember, always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now. Thank you.